Hello everyone, good morning. Thank you for coming today for today's presentation. And usually I like putting my slide first. I'm in tobacco control, so for the tobacco people, I don't have anything to declare. Yeah. And to begin with this presentation, Mary said Cuba is having a tobacco trade with its neighbors, Venezuela and co. And at the same time, they are having a huge problem with non-communicable disease. And I wish Cuba doesn't do that, because the disease is not killing the rest of the world. Anyway, today my presentation is about the implementation of the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. And specifically, I'm looking at Article 8 of the convention, and it's about the protection of, from exposure to tobacco smoke. And this is the background of tobacco. And increasingly, tobacco is becoming a worldwide problem, and basically in developing countries. And of course, today is the leading cause of communicable diseases worldwide. About 36 million people die from tobacco non-communicable diseases, from which tobacco, of course, is the leading killer. And we have about 6 million tobacco attributable diseases worldwide. It's estimated that about 8 million people will be dying by 2030. And if the trend, as we have seen, continues by the end of the 21st century, about 1 billion people will be dying from tobacco use. Already in the 20th century, over 100 million people died from tobacco use. So that's the trend. And beyond these health effects, tobacco use also has both socioeconomic and other environmental effects. And the socioeconomic effects include poverty and stuff like that. And environmental effects include deforestation and others. Okay. So this is one of my favorite slides, and it just shows clearly the effects of tobacco very much to the all the parts of the human body. And it's not just direct tobacco use, but it's also secondhand tobacco use. And this is the background of myself. We have over 250 carcinogens in tobacco smoke. And as at this point in time, there's no evidence. We don't have any evidence about any safe level of exposure to tobacco. So you cannot say if somebody is exposed to 10 minutes, the person is having less effect than somebody who is exposed to 30 minutes or so. And we have other negative effects of tobacco on non-smokers. We have the effects on our children, which include our developmental effects, like a low birth weight, which is a common, undeniable scientific fact. We have other respiratory effects, including asthma and cough. And adults too, we have similar effects on adults, including reproductive, respiratory, and other cancer-related diseases. And what do we do about tobacco? Okay, we know all these health effects. We know all these socioeconomic effects. What are we going to do about it? And so far, one policy that has been identified since the 1970s from the US is called the smoke-free policy. And it's more or less a population-based policy. And if you are in San Francisco, you may observe that San Francisco is somehow smoke-free city. Yeah, you cannot. And you may take it for granted if you're in San Francisco, but if you go other parts of the world and other parts of the country, you cannot enter a bar. You just come up and your coat is all smelly. Even the nuisance alone is just nerve-wracking. So we have that problem, but we have smoke-free policies to deal with that. And the evidence that has accumulated since the 1970s just suggests and shows that there are so many health benefits to smoke-free policies, and as well as economic benefits. And economic benefits, usually tobacco companies will work with their allies in the hospitality companies and be telling you that, oh, when you have smoke-free policy, our business is going to die. And it has never happened. So we have that policy. And for this policy bubbled up to the global arena, and it became part of this international treaty on tobacco control called the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. And what is this WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control about? I would say it's a global treaty on our public health, and it's basically the first global public health treaty that was negotiated under the auspices of the WHO. Currently, it has 175 members, but unfortunately, it doesn't include the United States. And within this treaty, it has so many provisions, and it has two key components. You have the demand side components, which is basically policies trying to control the demand for tobacco use, and we have the supply side component, which is basically trying to find a way to limit access to tobacco. Okay. So in this, we have so many provisions and parts to this treaty, and one part that I was looking at is specifically the exposure to tobacco smoke. And this is the key provisions of the treaty. And this is actually direct from the treaty. And it's saying, each party shall adopt and implement in areas of existing national jurisdiction as determined by national law and actively promote at other jurisdictional levels the adoption and implementation of effective legislative, executive, administrative, and or other measures providing for protection for exposure to tobacco smoke in indoor workplaces, public transport, indoor public places, and as appropriate, other public places. So where do we stand? This treaty was negotiated and adopted in 2003. So where do the world stand as of 2008? WHO published a report called Empower, and in the 2009 version, they just have a survey of all the countries around the world. And if you look at it, when you look at the smoke-free environment, which is the second bar, we have only 5% of the world being covered by smoke-free environment. Although we know that it's one of the effective means of controlling tobacco use, and of course, exposure to tobacco smoke around the world. Then, if you look at specific areas where we should have these smoke-free policies, from healthcare facilities is usually where most countries have coverage. And you look at the down, where places you look at the pubs and bars, there's a very, very small coverage for those areas. So my goal was first to try to look in the context of Africa, where now smoking rate is going up. Of course, the tobacco companies have been moving towards developing countries over 2 decades now, just because the smoking rate in places like the U.S. and other developed countries are just going down. So they have to find new markets outside the U.S. and the rest of the world. So just to try to assess in the context of Africa, the adoption of these smoke-free policies, and try to delineate or tease out the key determinants of policy adoption. And today's presentation, I'll focus on the first part, because the second part, I'm still struggling with the data collection, which is very, very messy, especially if you are in international health, you may have come across some of these problems. Okay. And this is my overall hacking framework. We have the implementation, how is the policy implemented? We have the indoor places where the WHO has identified specific areas that the policy should cover. Then we have indoor workplaces, indoor public places, and of course public transportation and others. But I looked at the first three venues. And how did I go about this study? I went basically through a policy analysis kind of work. And I looked at these three policies: smoke-free workplaces, smoke-free indoor places, and smoke-free public transportation. Where did I get my data? I had my data from several sources. And that included the WHO Empower reports. They have the tobacco country profiles. They have the tobacco atlas. And of course, the FTC itself has an implementation database where member states are within some specific years are required to report their activities at a country level. Okay. So how did I measure smoke-free policy? I call it at three levels. The first level is the policy status, and I put it at zero if there's no any other policy at all. So if there's no any other policy covering bars and restaurants, I put it at zero. And if when you look at indoor workplaces, there are policies covering maybe other health facilities, and it doesn't cover bars and pubs, I'll put it as partial. Then if it is full within the WHO scale, I'll call it, it means everybody has that policy covered, or that, those venues covered, I'll call it as full. And after putting it, I did some form of descriptive analysis, and I did a regional comparison. So this is a presentation of my preliminary results. Africa has 46 countries within the WHO region, and 86 of them has ratified the FCTC. And there are only a few countries that has not ratified. That's Eritrea, Ethiopia, Malawi, and Mozambique and Zimbabwe. And I highlighted Malawi and Mozambique because they are, Zimbabwe, because they are the few countries in the world highly dependent on tobacco export. Almost, for example, Malawi depends on tobacco export for about 60% of its revenue, foreign earnings. Okay. Then we have countries too that have taken positive steps, including Kenya and South Africa, and of course we have countries that are in the process of implementing the policy. That includes Ghana, Nigeria, and Rwanda. Okay. So these are my preliminary results from those venues. When you look at Central Africa, the blue bars are no policy, the red bars are partial policies, and the green bars are usually full adoption. You look at Central Africa, you wouldn't see any kind of pattern, just because they are all over the map and the data quality is very, very poor. This is the case for East Africa, and if you look at East Africa, there is increase in the adoption of these policies across all these policy venues or smoke-free venues. And you can see that there is increase in partial adoption from no adoption to more and more partial adoption. You look at Southern Africa, the trend is also similar. You see more partial adoption in venues like public transportation and indoor public places. Then West Africa is the last place where you look at those venues too. The areas that is widely covered is public transportation, where there's more and more adoption at the public transportation. And of course, the areas least covered is indoor public places. And I don't know why, but for indoor workplaces, they are covering those areas more and more. Okay. So this is briefly my discussion at this level of analysis. It's my study just tried to identify the various venues that need policy attention. And from my study, I realized that in Africa, unlike many other places, they use different forms of legal mechanisms, in the sense that in most cases, some of these policies are not passed by parliament. They are just passed by either the Minister of Health or specific presidential decrees. And also, I observed that there's an increase in the adoption of partial and full policies since 2003, and I consider that one to be the likely effect of the FCTC, because almost all African countries have ratified the FCTC. But at the same time, I observed that some of these indoor public places are not covered. That means there's high level of exposure to secondhand smoke in African countries. But at the same time, whilst other regions are making progress, Central Africa lags behind, and because they reported fewer policies as well as they have a poorer quality of data. Okay. So this is my next step for this analysis, because I've done the first analysis about the policy status, whether they have it or not. Then I'm going to look at the second step, try to tease out and delineate some of the factors that are associated with policy adoption. So at the end of this, if you have any suggestion where to get a data on any of these indicators, you are free to speak with me. Okay. So these are the people I've been working with. That's my colleagues and my research assistants. And thank you very much for listening to me.
So we have a couple of minutes for questions.
I know the number of countries now who have not ratified the FTT is small, but do you do a comparison between the countries that have and have not ratified and look at the change in policies?
Yeah, in this context, it's very complex because almost all the countries have either signed on the treaty right. since 2003 or have ratified. That means you wouldn't be able to have a comparison group to be able to compare those that have ratified and those that haven't ratified. So that's the big challenge of this kind of analysis I'm doing.
Is the U.S. the only country that hasn't signed on, and do you know the reason why the U.S.
hasn't signed on? Who is international health? U.S. never signed any treaty. Yeah, and of course, think about it, we have the biggest tobacco companies in this country. Yeah, so it's going to be a big political fight to try to engage in it. And if you remember, FDA is still struggling with what the tobacco company, even though in 2009, this Obama signed the Tobacco Control Act, but the fight still continues.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for listening.